na chai tana prabhan sana jaya jaya goda na shiva sadhi go
The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on January 8, 1982 in Calcutta, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8, Texts 39 and 40, and continues with the Vaishashastika verse number 8.
Translation of that petition. Some of the demons said,
All the demigods
have taken part in churning the ocean of milk.
Now, as everyone has an equal right to partake in any public sacrifice,
according to the religious, eternal religious system,
it is befitting that the demigods
now have a share of the nectar.
O King, in this way, the weaker demons forbade the stronger demons to take the nectar.
Report by His Divine Grace to the A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Desiring to take the nectar, those among the demons who were less strong spoke in favor of the demigods. The weaker daityas naturally pleaded on behalf of the demigods to stop the stronger daityas from drinking the nectar without sharing it. In this way, disagreement and trouble arose as they forbade one another to drink the nectar.
So, this is the nature of demons. They are interested in their own sense gratification. The demigods, or the devotees, are interested in satisfying the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Therefore, they try to satisfy Lord Sri Krishna first, always. Everything is offered to the Lord as a bhoga, as an offering. The devotees are accepting the remnants as prasad, or mercy. But the demons, they're not thinking about giving anything to Krishna. So they're simply thinking how each one can first taste the nectar and thus become eternal. Sometimes we see that even there are certain groups which come together, and then after some time, when they achieve the goal, then they break apart. Because each person is interested in his own material development and not in actually the total good, nor, and especially in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee is known to be as paradukkha-dukhi, one who is always compassionate to see when he sees the misery of others and is trying to deliver that misery, deliver those people from that misery. In this regard, I'd like to go to the saptam vaishishtya, or the seventh great glorification on the transcendental qualities of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as written by our founder, Acharya H.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is Paradukhi Hoya Vaishnav Prasiddha Se Kati Habe Sabha Prachari Prabhitha. That a truly great devotee of the Lord, or one of the great qualities of a devotee of the Lord, is that he is paradukhi. That he is himself compassionate to see the suffering of others, and therefore he wants to do something about it. So the placing of the practical effect of that compassion is that such devotees, they go on attempting to increase the prachar or the preaching work of Krishna consciousness. The Prabhupada goes on to say, Nitya Siddha Krishna Bhakti Jagali Savar Apani Palave Kali Kori Hahakar. That in the heart of every person is the eternal spirit soul. You see, that is actually who we are. And that spirit soul has as its one of its, or as its basic eternal characteristic, an eternal loving relationship with Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Person, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, therefore that is known as Nitya Siddha Krishna Bhakti, that Krishna Bhakti is there within our heart, that simply has to be awakened. Now we have forgotten or we have misdirected that natural flow of affection to the Lord. So by the preaching work of such great devotees who are compassionate for the suffering of others, then all the evil effects of this age of quarrel, the age of Kali, they run up and the personification or personified Kali himself run away when that pure devotional characteristic is automatically awakened from the heart of the common man. And so Kali runs away screaming out, ha 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 ha, save me. Because Kali is destroyed by the effects of Krishna consciousness. The next verse of the Prabhupada says, Prani nama pakaraya Mahaprabhu pani Iha kala pura kala sukhera se kyane. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is to deliver or to help all of the living entities. By that, one is happy in this world and one achieves eternal happiness in the spiritual abode of the Lord, even after this life. Verse 64 is, Ato kaju kore ase tuma der hate akatse milia kaju koroho tahate. That, well, all my brother Vaishnavas, there's a lot of work to be done and it's all waiting to be done by us. Therefore now we should come together, take up this work seriously for the benefit of all the fallen souls. In a cooperative spirit, we should work. Then Srila Prabhupada said, Vasudeva vipra vole prabhure niniya namiya sakal jive dauthar kuriya tale sa papa java mohinene dao dukhi jive dukhu tumi se gujao se do vaishnav srishtu por dukhi dukhi adindriya tripto jahe nahi tar sukhi. So Srila Prabhupada here, he accounts the transcendental pastime of Vasudeva Dutta, that the Vasudeva Vipra, the great Brahma, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that all of the sinful reactions, all of the karmas, which are accumulated by all of the living entities conditioned and in bondage in this universe, that they should all be given personally to him. He prayed, give me all of their sinful reactions, I'll take on all the bad karmas, I'll take all of the sufferings, I am the most fallen, I am the most insignificant, let it all come upon me. This was his request. Why? Dukhi jive dukhu tumi se bujao. So then you take all of the misery, all of the suffering from all the living entities, simply give it to me, and you liberate all of them, you take them all back to the kingdom of God. Let me just alone suffer, I'll just stay here and rot forever. Doesn't matter. Let hundreds and millions of unlimited people go back to God. Let me alone suffer, that's much better. Even I stay here forever, no harm. Let them taste the nectar of pure love for Krishna. Let them taste the eternal happiness. This was Vasudeva Dutta's prayer. So Srila Prabhupada said, this is the characteristic of the topmost of all pure devotee Vaishnavas of the Lord, that transcendentally he feels compassion for the miseries and sufferings of all the suffering people of this world. Attend your trip to Jahi Nahi Tara Sukhi. He has complete, you see, transcendental happiness through Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he doesn't require any material happiness. Even material misery is no problem for him. He's already tasting eternal happiness in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, willingly, he'd rather take on their misery, let them go back to Krishna. They don't have any concern with material affairs. So, three more verses here. In this sixth, seventh. Ki doya kurite pari avaishnava jan aparadi hoi matra duritthanaya. What type of mercy, what type of real help can be done by those who are non-devotees, who are of the Lord, who are avaishnavas? They simply become offenders by calling poor people as poor Narayanas or Daridra Narayanas, thus offending the Supreme Lord Narayana by giving him some type of artificial title as Daridra. Vikyava samato se vishnave doya vishnava vihin bhume maya durathaya. Vishnu Vaishnava Chudhari Dharai Hoy Tabi Se Sukha Loka Muni Rishi Koi. According to scientific, the mercy of the pure devotees is very practical and scientific. Without a land, without pure devotees of the Lord, is simply a place of suffering in materialistic misery. Therefore, in every land, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu must be placed in the topmost position, and his pure devotees, the Vaishnavas, they must be given full scope to actively work for delivering real happiness to all of the people. This is the verdict of all of the great sages and saints from the Vedic literature. So thus end the seventh Vaishishtya of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So here, Srila Prabhupada is showing us the real characteristic of His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and the real characteristic of the devotees or bhakti yogis in Krishna consciousness, that they are actually compassionate to the, you see, ultimate degree. They're willing to accept all type of difficulties, all type of obstacles, so that the soul in bondage in this material world may be delivered. Actually, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has shown in his personal lifetime the highest degree of compassion on the whole world, by at the advanced age of 70 years, taking all type of difficulties for spreading the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world, and traveling profusely from 1965 until 1977, all over the world, at least about 17 times. So, because of this one compassion with pure devotees' endeavor, the whole world has become awakened to Hare Krishna, and the great movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spread all over the world, fulfilling the prediction 500 years ago that in every town and village around the world, his holy name would be sung, his movement would be spread. So now that is fast coming true. This is because of compassion. It's not possible to spread such a glorious and pure thing as pure devotional service, pure love for God, the highest practice of yoga, without being empowered by Krishna himself and without having the pure desire. Kali kali dharma nama sankirtan Krishna kripa vine nahi tar pravarchana. In this Kali Yuga, the recommended process for the age is to chant the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Mahamantra. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his instruction was that everyone should be engaged in the Sankirtan movement. And Lord Chaitanya himself personally engaged even the jungle animal. In the Jarakandha forest, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested tigers, elephants, deer, snakes, everyone to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, to chant Hare Bol, Hare Bol. And because he himself is the Lord of everyone, he was able to get all of the animals to also chant, roll in the ground. At that time, together there were tigers, deer, elephants, and there was no question of any danger felt by anyone because everyone was absorbed in love for Krishna. So of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could even get the animals filled with ecstatic love for God. What to speak of human beings. So our founder Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he has instructed us that we may not be immediately able to engage all of the animals, but at least we should get all of the human beings to dance in ecstasy, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. By this means, the miseries of this immediate lifetime are dissipated, and one is freed from the repetition of birth and death. One is given the highest position as an eternal sevak in the eternal devotional service of the Lord. So in this way, there is no higher position that one could achieve. So it's a great responsibility upon those who know better. Nowadays, of course, people have become really self-centered. Not in a real sense, as our real self is not the body but our eternal soul. But in artificial material sense, they have become bodily centered. The body has the self. So even if there is some big doctor or someone who knows how to help people, he may be afraid, especially in Western countries, that if I try to just help someone, I won't get any money out of it, and in the end I may get sued or this or that. So it's very difficult if one wants to do material charitable work. Even if he wants to do it, then there's every risk that someone ultimately won't appreciate it. So that's why that type of material welfare work is filled with many defects. So the welfare work which is being discussed here is something which is pure. Why we suffer? Why we are miserable? Why we are forced to get old and die? These are questions every human being should ask himself and should find out the answer. If I don't want to be miserable, if I don't want to grow old, why am I forced to do it? There's a cause for everything. So then one can understand ultimately we are not independent. We are strictly controlled by various natural laws. And those natural laws are given by, ultimately, by Krishna. Maya dakshena prakriti. The whole material nature is under his control. So he's saying to us, it's very difficult to get over this material nature. But it's very easy to cross over this material nature and its stringent laws by taking shelter of Lord Shri Krishna. Just as someone who is given a death sentence may approach the president of the country to get a reprieve, to get a pardon, that ultimate pardon is the right of the head of state to give in most countries of the world. So the head of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So similarly, there are various processes of yoga, various religious systems, which are ultimately meant to get a pardon or to finish our term in this material prison house. But if one gets a pardon, then no question, free. So material people, they are so illusioned, they don't realize that they are not free. That's their first mistake. So therefore, the laws of nature are made in such a way that they have to suffer the reaction for the activities that they perform. So then, they realize that actually whatever they're doing, then they are forced to suffer for that. And they're also given a limited time in each body. Each body has got a particular term, which is fixed at the time of our birth. How many breaths we have? Maybe 1 lakh, maybe 5 lakhs, 500,000, 5 billion, whatever. Certain amount of breaths are given. One can reduce those number of breaths, or one may slightly increase by certain pious activities, but no matter how much one may increase, ultimately in this material world he cannot stay forever. He has to leave the body sooner or later. Those yogis who have been able to control their pranayama, because they stop the breathing process, naturally their life increases. If they can stop breathing completely, then they can remain without going. That's why you find yogis 300-400 years. As long as they're remaining in samadhi, then they're not growing older. When they come off of samadhi and they start breathing again, then they're growing older again. So, but even then, unless one transfers oneself out of this material world, even the greatest mystic yogis, once their material world is dissolved, then they have to give up this body, because at that time everything is finished. Even they may be the greatest siddhas, or liberated soul, the perfected soul. That type of welfare work, which is based upon the body, that you can never satisfy everyone's body. There's always someone who is dissatisfied mentally or physically with what someone else is doing. Kennedy was appreciated by many people, but Howard Oswald did not appreciate him like that. Gandhiji was appreciated by many people, but there was one man who didn't appreciate him, he shot him. In this way, there's always someone who appreciates and someone who doesn't appreciate any material activity. But the devotee doesn't care that whether people in ignorance appreciate or don't appreciate. They first of all care whether Krishna appreciates. Because if Krishna appreciates, automatically everyone is taken care of. Because he's the controller of everyone. By his mercy, all the difficulties can be crossed over. So just like I was saying, if we can get the pardon, then there's no question. All these different processes, difficult processes of yoga, difficult processes of religious systems have been simplified in this age of Kali to enable everyone to directly make their appeal to the Supreme Head. Generally the systems are quite indirect. Even if you pray, it's only some abstract name, God. Allah only means God. Jehovah only means... There's no direct name. Just like if you write a letter, dear Prime Minister, dear President, you know his name, you see. Sanjeev Reddy, President of India, Ronald Reagan, President of USA, whatever, then at least it has a personal touch. And if you send a letter through one of his aides who may be personally connected with you, then you're sure that it's going to get there. Otherwise, it may not get past the secretary and the outer office. So like that, people say, God, God, of course, it gets there, but in a very abstract way. Doesn't go directly to the most merciful form of the Lord, but goes to his expansions here in the material universe for maintaining. So this is a problem. People, they don't know how to directly approach and get a direct pardon from this material prison house, how to achieve a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they are being kicked by the material nature. They're forced to suffer. And the only hope for them is the devotees, the Vaishnavas, who already have a connection with the Lord, who know these secrets, who have uncovered these from the Vedic literatures, and rather have received this special system in the disciplic succession. So if those persons who know better, who know the secret, if they don't give it out to others, then what is the hope of the common person? Therefore, the whole world is going to hell. So Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is writing this particular poem to the devotees of the Lord, that they should be very active and take up this responsibility which is theirs alone. No one else can do it at all, to give out this medicine or this mercy for the upliftment of all the fallen souls, of all the suffering persons in this material world, irregardless of their background, of their designation, caste, creed, color, whatever it may be. So sometimes non-devotees, they try to put on that type of show to help the suffering people, but because they're also dependent on getting sense gratification, they're dependent on satisfying their bodily demands, otherwise they don't get their personal happiness. The happiness they get by helping others is simply mental or sentimental. Because they're not connected through the process of bhakti yoga with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with the Supreme Absolute Truth, and they're not therefore getting spiritual bliss from the spiritual platform, which is satisfying not only the soul but the mind and the body. So therefore they have to go here and there for eating, for sleeping, for sex life as their only source of happiness. So what happens? They don't get a good food, they don't get good edibles, then they're feeling unhappy. They're not having good sleep, then they're feeling distressed. They're having some disruption in their love affair. Everything is down. So then, in this way, they're afraid of some type of attack from opposing parties, from envious people. They're afraid, they're fearful. So in this way, they're completely absorbed in animal propensities, and it's very difficult for them to actually overcome that, to do any real welfare work for the people. And if they find somehow or another are able to just control those basic problems, somehow or another just satisfy the minimum wants to be able to push on and think about doing something for others, even then their ideas are all off. Their all ideas are concocted. They don't have any real basis of what the real problem of the people are. They just put on something which is very satisfying for publicity's sake, or to their own mental idea. So in this way, the human ideas that try to do something, so In this way, sometimes they call all the poor people, you serve them, they're Narayana. This is a type of impersonal idea that everyone is Narayana. Actually, Narayana is the Supreme Person. He is always above this material world. He never comes under the control of this material world. He is always possessed with all opulence, all knowledge, all beauty, all fame, all renunciation, and all power. So he doesn't become in any way limited by this material world, you see. He's Bhagavan, Sarva Jas, Sarva Shaktiman, Sarva Gyanavan, Sarva Bhagavan, Sarva Sundarja, Sarva Iswarja, like this. All these six qualities, Sarva Vairagya. So he doesn't become a Daridra or a poor man. So this idea, Daridra Narayan, simply some concoction. Oh, that all these poor men, suffering beggars, they are just another form of Narayan, another form of God, we are serving the poor God. You see, God doesn't become poor. There are poor humans, pure jivas, fallen in the material world. They are part of God, but they are not God. God is above all this duridratva, poverty, suffering. He is always there to give the help, to lift the people up, if we so desire. And he has given process how to do that. So different ages there were different processes, and some of those processes are still practiced today. But it's very hard to practice the different religious systems in this Kali Yuga properly. So a system has been given which is so easy that anyone can practice. And it is so sublime that immediately one feels transcendental happiness in the spiritual life. So whether or not one is materially simply getting by, or whether materially enjoying, is not dependent, or materially suffering, he doesn't lose his complete hope. Doesn't become completely dejected or filled with lamentation and fear, because he's getting transcendental happiness from the spiritual life. That type of person can actually do welfare work for the people. He actually can have real compassion. And his ideas being authorized by Krishna, by the Vedas, they are not simply concoction. They won't create some disturbance in the future. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that every place in the whole world needs such pure devotees of the Lord, that may purify those lands, may create a proper atmosphere for human development, for cultural, spiritual development, based upon the principles of eternal knowledge, eternal truth, based on the principles of Vedic culture, Krishna consciousness. So how? He, at this time, he wrote this before he went to the West. He's imploring all the Vaishnavas of India, let us work together, let us now make a program to go abroad, to go to the different countries, to help the people, to understand what is the purpose of life, to create devotees in each of those countries, that they may in turn purify their own lands, and then this way the world can be freed from all this suffering and misery. And this way he's imploring upon them, let us wake up these sleeping souls ourselves, let us move out of our religious hermitages and ashrams and all these places, simply living a type of lazy life. Let us take up the active preaching work. This was his plea, but no one was interested at that time. Only those who were interested, they didn't want to go for making people devotees, they wanted to make some business, show some yoga posture, which is simply the very basic warm-up of real yoga practice. It has nothing to do with the highest system of yoga at all. So, finally, he was all this time humble, thinking that we should do it together, we should do it together. I don't want to make it a one-man show. But when no one came forward, no one would take the courage or the initiative or would have the magnanimity of even working together, discussing the topic, then receiving so many orders in dream by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then he was obliged and he must go himself to the West. Even he's alone, even he's at the fag end of the material body, he must go to make one last effort. Whatever be the will of Krishna, that will happen. But he must not himself, after realizing so many transcendental truths, allow that mercy not to be distributed as widely as possible. So he took up that mission and distributed all over the world. This was his mission his whole life. It wasn't that he got this idea late. Through his whole life he had the idea, he was planning, he was preparing. But he was thinking that together we should do it. He was not the only devotee, not the only God brother, not the only person. Why should he go on himself? First, he was feeling we should all work together and do it as a joint effort, in a proper mood of cooperation. But no one took it up. He realized actually the time was coming to a close, a period he would spend in this world. So I have to go at least. No one else is going. It's my duty. I must go. Come what may, depending on the Lord's mercy. So now this heritage of helping the souls in this world who are suffering from the material bondage, material misery, has fallen on so many devotees all over the world. Some of these devotees will think that it is difficult thing to worry about others, better to worry about one's own material facilities and position first, and then we can think about doing something for Krishna consciousness, we can think about doing something for the misery of others, and giving them pure God consciousness. So, such people, they won't be able to do much. They become materially affected. Others, individually, if they try to do without trying to engage the others, then they won't get the full mercy of the Lord. But cooperative, they try. Prabhupada tried cooperatively, no one came forward, he had no choice to do it alone. But this is the goal, this is the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to work as Sankirtan. Sankirtan means kol, kartal, cymbals, drums, singer, dancer, everyone together working, and then you create a beautiful, you see, Sankirtan, chanting party. Just one person cannot make a Sankirtan party very perfectly. Requires many people together. This is the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, organized. Organized movement for delivering the people from their ignorant, miserable condition to the highest platform of pure bliss, pure Krishna consciousness. So the demons, they're always interested in me first, therefore there's always this type of difficulty, this type of disturbance. But the devotees, who had actually understood the essence of Krishna consciousness, put always the order of Guru, order of Krishna in the forefront. Therefore there must be a harmony. It's only one order, only one goal, only one Supreme Lord. Therefore everyone is directed to the same end. Must be harmony. If everyone isn't, the symphony is playing to the same tune, to the same time, then there'll be a harmony. Even there's varieties of instruments, varieties of sub-tunes, but the whole thing becomes a symphony. Because it's all being directed by the will of the Supreme, same Supreme Lord. When everybody wants to play their own thing, then it becomes a different creation. If they reject the guidance of the Lord and His representatives, then it becomes hopeless. So, now this responsibility is upon all of the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the world to continue spreading his Sankirtan movement until Kali is completely driven out. of this world. He'll run crying, you see. We don't mind it. A devotee doesn't mind it. Such an envious person who creates misery, quarrel, and dissension amongst the people is forced to run out. Devotee doesn't mind if a cruel person is driven out, and if people are allowed to be happy in transcendental joy. Let the one troublemaker go out. If that's his misfortune, we don't mind. Someone whose happiness is causing misfortune and misery to others, the devotee doesn't mind if he gets driven out. Because they want to see that all the innocent people should get real spiritual bliss. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Sarasvati Guru Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna, Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama.